Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to weigh in on that. Also, Julian Assange writing a tongue firmly planted in cheek letter to the new king in Great Britain, which, of course, a king is just a person whose S stinks too. But still, a lot of people seem to believe something special about royalty. Did you guys happen to catch the news that there was a phallus that was carved into the coronation lawn, apparently, sometime within the last 24 hours?
Into the coronation lawn?
Yeah, so whatever the area is in Great Britain where they're having this coronation, there's a big lawn there, right? Mm-hmm. And so apparently the theory is some prankster took poison. And because it wasn't like it couldn't have used like a lawnmower or something. He took poison and he traced the outline of a phallus.
Odorous Youngerous would be proud.
Like a very large phallus that was pointing towards, I don't know, whatever fancy regal buildings that they have there.
Nice.
So there was an image of that.
Congratulations
around
to whomever this prankster is.
Yeah, I loved it. It was absolutely fantastic.
The hero we didn't know we needed.
I put it out on my social media, on our social, social.freetalklive.com. So if you follow me there, you probably saw it within the last 24 hours. By the way, I want to say thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending Free Talk Live 32 Dash per month. So talk about Dash on the air, which I would be happy to do normally on Free Talk Live, but this gives us the excuse to do it every single night. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. It's digital cash. It is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. By the way, I just pulled up just within the last hour, the current Bitcoin fees, the Bitcoin fee charts over at bitinfocharts.com.
I saw one that said it was like something like $8 or $10 to move like one BTC or something.
Well, it doesn't matter the amount of Bitcoin that you're trying to move, Captain. Yeah. Typically, what it matters is how much how busy is the Bitcoin network.
Right, the time it takes for the transaction to process.
It could be a tenth of a Bitcoin. Yeah. It could be a hundredth of a Bitcoin. It could be a full Bitcoin. It's
from one Satoshi to 21 million. Always the same fee.
It may be the same fee. The fee depends on the size of the transaction, not the amount, but the actual bytes, the number of bytes that are required to communicate that information over the Internet. So if your transaction requires more bytes, you're going to pay more. But anyway, right now, so what they do is they look at the average and the median transaction fees on this bitinfocharts.com. And as of today, the average transaction fee is getting close to $10. It's $9.61. And the median transaction fee, so half or higher than this number, half or lower, the median today is $5.68. That is a lot of money to do a simple transaction of value over the Internet. That is more money than the average person in Africa, for instance, can afford.
Apparently what some people have decided to do is to encode their own chain into the Bitcoin chain.
Is this the tokens thing that has come out?
The ordinals and inscriptions thing, right? So the idea is, so with each transaction is a tiny amount of data. But when you put transactions together, which is what ordinals do, they go, okay, this transaction goes first, this one goes second, this one goes third. Then you can do inscriptions, which means you're putting data directly onto the Bitcoin blockchain.
Okay.
So mostly this has been used for like JPEG. Eggs and, things like that, little pictures and stuff like that. But apparently what's become popular is to start encoding, like, an entire altcoin chain into the Bitcoin.
Well, apparently they've also done tokens recently, which I didn't know that they were doing too. And now there's meme coins that have been launched on the Bitcoin blockchain. I'd heard about some of these other meme
Pepe.
Coins. Pepe.
Oh, is that one from Bitcoin?
Apparently. I didn't know that, right? I figured it was on the Ethereum blockchain, but no, apparently it's a Bitcoin blockchain thing. So the Bitcoin usage is up. There's more people using the Bitcoin network, which mm-hmm. means the fees are shooting through the roof.
And it means that all of these blocks are getting completely filled.
What on earth could we possibly do to get around these high network fees?
Dash. You can use Dash, which is, again, designed to keep its fees low. Dash has no problem increasing their block size if need be, and Dash, as a result, has fees that are usually way less than 1 cent per transaction. You can use Dash and actually get a discount on buying things at over 155,000 locations across the United States. It's called Dash Direct, because the whole point of cryptocurrency, if you believe Satoshi Nakamoto, was to have peer-to-peer electronic cash that people used.
Right.
That you didn't just buy and hope goes up in value. This is actually useful in the marketplace. And they've done that with Dash Direct. You can get the app for Dash Direct on your Apple or Android App Store. And I know, Captain, you've got personal experience with this.
Yep.
You've used it not just once, but a bunch of times.
I used it today.
Before they came on board with sponsoring Free Talk Live.
Yes.
The stores on Dash Direct each have their own discount level, so you'll get a different, you know, discount based on which store you're visiting, which company.
There's a couple of stores that you don't get any discount.
Okay. But most of them.
But you can still spend Dash.
Right. Most of them you do.
Sweet. Yeah,
in fact, some of them it's like 4, 5, 6, even 7 or 8.
Yeah, some of them are high. Some of them are like 1 or 2. Some of them are 4 or 5.
So check it out over at check the Dash Direct app out. Dash has been around for a long time. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And again, big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to talk about Dash. And visit Dash.org to learn more about it.
Yeah. Wow. I save in cryptocurrency. I love being able to actually spend from what I'm saving in, which Dash allows me to do. Bitcoin
right.
does not, unless I want to figure out how to use the Lightning Network, which
Good
I'm not
luck.
There yet. I will say, and to get a discount is even better. But I will say that these ordinals and transcriptions seem even more dangerous to the large block size ones, because you get what's called chain bloat, where, like, mm-hmm. okay, if I decide to put my, you know, my little picture of a Hello Kitty or whatever onto your blockchain, okay, that is there forever. So right. everyone who ever runs this thing
has to download it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that if
there's 1,000 people putting Hello Kitties on there every day, then that's going to be a lot of bloat.
Right. When you have these larger block size, that becomes a bigger problem with the inscriptions than it used to be beforehand.
Maybe, but if you have a larger block size, at least you can afford to do all that with low fees. At least right now on Bitcoin, you're going to be spending $5 on a median transaction. And that is out of the range of anyone who wants to make small purchases. That is out of the range of someone who's only earning $2 a day
right.
in Africa, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
it's
crazy.
It's not useful for purchases.
No.
What it is useful for is finalization. So, like you were talking about with check kiting earlier.
Yes.
Because the finalization process on the, like, to this day, it takes like a week, week and a half to finalize any processes in their bank system.
Yeah.
Now,
Fed Now's coming this summer.
Yeah, let's see if that works. Now, I mean, I get your point as far as spending goes, but as far as finalization of these things, dude, once every 10 minutes they finalize transactions, that blows away the old system.
Yeah, what's the meme on that one? Bitcoin is audited once every 10 minutes, but the Federal Reserve hasn't been audited in 180 years.
Right.
Apparently, yeah. Pepe is on Ethereum and Bitcoin. I don't know if they're two completely different Pepes or what that is.
I've seen a few headlines about Pepe.
Tether does the same thing, actually.
That's true, but I don't know if that's what's happening here.
Hmm.
There could be a completely different. You know, anybody who wants to create a coin or one of these tokens can just punch it up.
Copy-paste.
Call it whatever the hell you want. So just because someone made Pepe on Bitcoin's blockchain doesn't mean it's the same someone who made it elsewhere.
Now,
beware of meme coins, by the way. Like, these are, You know, by the time you hear about a meme, by the time you hear about a meme coin, it's probably too late.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, and one thing about one of the issues about all altcoins, even the good ones, is that they tend to, as compared with Bitcoin, they will have one massive peak and then they will go down forever. Like the one big shot, and then it's just flat and going down forever,
like
against Bitcoin as opposed to against dollars. Now, they can still go up in value against dollars, but that's because the dollars are getting printed like mad, whereas Bitcoin is not getting printed at anything, at any change in its schedule. In fact, slower and slower they print that.
It's just like in popular music. There's a term for that. It's called a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Right. All right, so let's go to the phones here. We got Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, Sarah. Hello, Sarah going once.
Sarah?
Oh, my bad, I had her muted. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, are you with me?
Yeah, we got you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, so since they started giving out red light camera tickets, they racked up 900. They started up like 3 weeks ago. So these are actually given by a live officer. So they rounded up like 900.
I hope they're not given by a dead officer.
Okay,
well,
Sarah. Are you trying to, are you trying to pat yourself on the back here because you helped make this happen?
Well, not so much whether I have effect or not, but the thing is that they'll do this sweep for about a couple of months and they'll quit. And they'll go back to running red lights and all the craziness again. So
who's quitting? The police or the red light runners?
The violators. They always say, "I want the cops to give it to me." And the robots, the cameras, so they'll get them every single time. With an officer, they'll do it for a couple of months and they'll go do something else.
You're saying the officer is going to do something else?
Right. The officers that would have to...
Why would they do that if they're making money off of it? I mean, that's the whole point of this, is to make money for the state, for the police department. So if it's a revenue generator, why would they stop doing it?
Well, they're going to behave themselves. Well, they're going to behave themselves for a couple of months, and they're going to go back. It's like always like a cat and mouse game.
Oh, you're saying that the red light violators will calm down and stop violating the red lights, so therefore revenue goes down, so therefore the police will schedule their time elsewhere. Is what you're saying?
Right. And then once they wait 6 months, and they'll go back to doing the same thing again. So it's
so what you're saying?
It's almost like you can't solve the problem of speeding this way.
This is running red lights. We got speed.
Oh, sorry.
Cameras.
It's almost like you can't solve the problem of running red lights this way.
Well,
this is why she wants the cameras to do it. She wants 24/7 coverage, so you don't have to rely on a human officer.
Yeah, she wants robotic tickets.
Well, that would be better, but they're honoring this the vote that we had like 11 years ago, which is a non-binding election, and they're honoring that.
You mean where the people of Albuquerque? I only know what you're talking about because you've called about this before. Where the people of the city said they don't want red light cameras. That's what they voted on.
This was voted 11 years ago, though, and it was a non-binding election.
Who cares what they want? We are the state. We will impose anywhere, anytime we want. So congratulations, Sarah, on increasing surveillance of the population.
Look, to the city council's credit, they did get rid of the red light cameras after the people spoke and said, "We don't want this anymore." So, like, the city council...
And that is unacceptable, isn't it, Stalin? I mean, Sarah?
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. We did what the voters wanted. Now they're T-boning, killing everybody, running red lights.
Because that never happened while red light cameras were present, right? No one ever T-boned anyone. Thanks for the call tonight, Sarah. The number here, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. This caller, you are on the air. What's your name?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, that's you.
My name is Pedreg.
Pedreg.
I'm from New Mexico.
What's on your mind tonight?
Sarah's the problem with New Mexico.
She's part of it.
You're not wrong.
That is what has got us all backed up.
And when you say that, you mean welfare state people who always want bigger government?
just look around at the crime rate in New Mexico, the educational level in New Mexico, and see who's moving in New Mexico, and just listen to Sarah talk, and you'll find out what's wrong with New Mexico.
Yeah, I have no idea what it's like to work for money or to drive, but you need to give more of the money that you worked for because you drive.
Yeah.
That's correct. I don't own my car, although they're all paid off. I have like six of them, but I have to pay rental charges to the state every year.
Yep, you sure do.
I own a farm, but I still have to pay rental to the state of New Mexico every year.
Yeah, so you don't actually own the
property taxes.
You might have paid off your mortgage, but you don't own your farm.
Unfortunately, that crappy deal exists in all 50 states.
If I don't pay my land taxes, guess what? The state's going to sell it off to somebody with more money.
They sure will. And then you will be homeless.
That's correct.
Yeah, we're very much in the same position as, weirdly enough, nobles or governments themselves. We will grant you this land, but you must render unto us a tax from that land. And if you fail to render that tax, then it becomes our land again.
Wasn't that from the King of England?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't we have a revolution against the King of England?
Well, I don't know about we. I didn't have a revolution, did you?
Well, now there's 535 kings.
Well, I'm having a revolution now. You want to join it?
I'm having an evolution.
Okay. You can.
Would you like to join it? It's here in New Hampshire amongst a whole bunch of other freedom-minded individuals. We're having an evolution.
If you're a libertarian or voluntarist or a liberty-loving anarchist, yeah, New Hampshire's the place to come to for sure.
How's the weather there?
Yeah, it can get a little chilly. But if weather is your primary concern, then it's obviously not freedom, right?
No. If the hardest thing that man has to endure is the weather, he is truly blessed.
Thank you indeed for the call tonight, Padraig.
Good
I appreciate hearing from you. The number here is 603-283-6160. Unfortunately, we still have an awful state here in New Hampshire that happens to be the freest of all the 50 states, but they still suck.
It's still statist AF.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. All right, so banks. I know, Peakless Mountaineer, you had more to say on the failure, the latest failure, the largest over the last few months, and the second largest in history in the United States. I believe only second to Washington Mutual, I think, was the one in 2008?
Yes.
The most recent one, I've already forgotten the name of it.
Yeah, so our
First Republic, thank you.
Our current banking crisis has the three, so in the top five banks to ever collapse.
Yeah.
So you've got the one that set off the 2008 crisis.
Right.
Then you've got, at the bottom of the pack of five, is the one that collapsed when the phrase too big to fail was popularized. Mm-hmm. And in between, all three in one collapse, is this one. You have the Signature Bank, Silicon Valley, mm-hmm. and First Republic.
And that was the reverse order. It's First Republic that's the largest, Silicon Valley Bank, second largest, and then Signature Bank was the third largest.
Right.
And in the most recent times, and again, First Republic was the second largest of all time. And the other interesting takeaway was that if you add together those three banks, the three that have most recently mm-hmm. failed in the United States, and we're not even talking about the Swedish bank, right? Credit
right.
Suisse. So just the three U.S. banks that have failed within the last month and a half or so,
mm-hmm.
that is more, as I understand it, more money failing, more banks, the total amount of dollars.
The money that was lost.
Yeah, is, well, is it lost? The taxpayers are going to be on the, are probably footing the bill for it, but it is exceeding the amount of failures of all the banks that failed in 2008.
So two things. One, it's not even just taxpayers, because like we tend to think of ourselves as being especially targeted by having to print more money, but it's everyone on earth that gets targeted when they print more money.
Anyone with dollars.
Well, is there anywhere that is immune to the dollar, honestly? Now, in 2008, the 25 banks that collapsed was worth a total of $373,500.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is over half a trillion, just these three.
Yeah, yep.
Biggies. So it blows it out of the water. Now, if you look, though, In 2008, 25 banks collapsed, and it was this huge sum. But in 2009, it was 140 banks that had to collapse right. as a result of that. And in 2010, 157 banks mm-hmm. that collapsed as a result.
Right.
So we're just at the start
this
of this,
is the beginning.
And it's yeah. already way bigger.
Tip of the iceberg, and I assume you're going to mention PacWest.
That may be the next one to fall. That is, they've taken a huge hit on their stock yeah. within the last, just the last week. And there's been a few as well. Western yeah. Alliance Bank, PacWest. Apparently there's several of them that are just getting brutalized mm-hmm. As far as stock sell-offs are concerned. Now, of course, the industry is saying, we're fine, everything's okay. The Federal Reserve and the yeah. Treasury, they're saying the banking system is strong, everything is
just
all
like
right.
they said the last time we had one,
mm-hmm.
and just like they said in the last bank during this one. Oh, yes. no, it's fine, it's fine. Oh, another one went down. No, okay, now it's contained.
Yeah.
Now we don't have to worry about this, you know, being, what do they call it, contagion? What I actually wanted to bring up was that the so J.P. Morgan all of a sudden is gobbling this bank up.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah.
So now J.P. Morgan
they paid pennies for it by comparison. To
oh yeah. So right. some fun facts
12
on
billion,
that.
$12 billion, I think, and then.
So in this process, there's a one-time gain of $2.6 billion just for gobbling this up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're also expecting another half billion dollars per year from gobbling this up. But, you know, there's also losses, because that's why this bank collapsed, was because it has all of these losses mm-hmm. in addition to all of its gains. And, they're not paying that. We are. So the FDIC has decided to pay the losses from these banks.
Of course.
Yeah.
Look back at the 2008 crisis. How did that get resolved? Oh, they raped the taxpayers.
Right.
How is this one going to get solved?
They're
going to rape the taxpayers.
I don't know if they're to that point yet, though.
Well, again, it's not just the taxpayers. It's everybody.
Well, okay. I don't know if they're to that point yet. That may be coming soon, but aren't they saying at least that, we're going to do a special assessment on the bank, so the taxpayers are fine. If you're just a taxpayer, you're not going to feel this. If you're a bank customer, you may get lower rates on if they can go any lower, but they're going to assess the banks, meaning the banks will be paying the fees that will then reimburse the FDIC for the billions that they're going to pay.
Not so.
No?
No, they've already shown that they will print more money in order to backstop these things. Mm-hmm. They have already printed enough money, and somehow the debt ceiling doesn't apply to this printing of money mm-hmm. because it's FDIC. It's an emergency. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a bit more about the emergency.
We're going
to
continue here, and you can share your thoughts. And you can bring up whatever's on your mind as well. Always open phones here on Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us on this live Saturday episode. That's 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The suspect in a shooting at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas is dead.
Shots were fired this afternoon at the Allen Premium Outlets, a suburb of Dallas. Police say 9 people were taken to area hospitals. Their conditions are not known. President Biden is defending his son's business dealings ahead of possible federal charges. In an interview on MSNBC, Biden said Hunter, quote, has done nothing wrong when asked about a Washington Post report that prosecutors may decide whether to file tax-related charges against his son. At Churchill Downs today, it was 15-1 long shot Mage, the winner of the 149th running of the Kentucky Derby. The coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla today in the UK brought a sight not seen since his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, had her coronation 70 years ago. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We've got time for you. If you want to join the show, you can in here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the latest in the banking crisis. Will it be affecting a bank near you? Maybe. Sooner rather than later? Well, who knows? But we are talking about that here, and you can weigh in if you want. It's Ian with you tonight.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Captain Kickass is here.
These guys are going to be coming back a little bit later. So the radio show ends at 10 p.m. Eastern time. They take about a half-hour break, so we've got some things to do here in the studio.
We need to do a set change.
Yep, and then they will return with Beard Talk Live, which starts at 10:30 Eastern Time. You can watch it live at watch.freetalklive.com. And if there's something wrong with Odyssey, which sometimes something's going on, there's something breaking or whatever, you can always find us on the other video streaming services that we're on. We're on Twitch, for instance, and you can go to video.lrn.fm to get the full list of various different video streaming services that you will find Beard Talk Live on tonight at 10:30 Eastern.
It is uncensored for those of you who might be calling because you're listening to a delayed broadcast of Free Talk Live.
Right.
Just fair warning that when you call in, vulgarity will likely ensue.
Good chance of it. All right, so, Peakless, you were explaining to us some of the details about the First Republic Bank, which is now the second largest bank in U.S. history to fail.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many bank failures over the years, but this is the second largest. It's, what was it, over $200 billion in value, I believe, just that one bank. And it's considered to be a regional bank. It's now been gobbled
up. Well, they got
to
change their name then, right? Because they weren't first.
Yeah, it's now Chase.
They they changed their name. It's now J.P. Morgan Chase.
J.P. Morgan Chase. They're chasing all the banks that are failing?
Oh, they sure are. And so that's one of the things that I think is absolutely key to what's happening right now. So they are one of the banks that is over 10% of the nation's deposits. Now, what that means is that legally...
J.P. Morgan.
Yes, J.P. Morgan has over 10% of the United States...
$17 trillion or something like that?
I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I think it is.
Since they have over 10%, there's a law that applies to them where they are not allowed to acquire any depository institution.
Right. Unless...
This doesn't count. This is an emergency. And because this is an emergency and they've been ordered by the FDIC to do this...
We had to.
We couldn't help ourselves.
There are just so
many. It's illegal, but we're going to do it anyway.
There are just so many instances of this where the regular folk are required to follow the dictates, the laws, if you will, that these politicians write down. But when it comes to them and their buddies following them, they're like, that's fine. You know what? We'll let this one go. We'll rewrite a thing here. We'll make an exception for you. But they never make exceptions for anybody else.
Well, and the reason I bring this up is I think this is a taste of things to come.
Mm.
So I think that, and I don't know how much of this is going to be J.P. Morgan specifically, how much of this is going to be Bank of America, how much of this is going to be Wells Fargo, but all of these mega banks have over 10%. They're not allowed, under any normal circumstance, they would be illegal for them to acquire any depository institutions, but they're just going to have to.
Well, this is the nature of the emergency exemptions that they have in law. Whenever there's a quote-unquote emergency, then the law just simply doesn't need to apply the way that it has. They just wave it away. And there will be no punishment for them, of course.
And this is why the rule of law is nonsense, because they always write themselves an exception of, it was an emergency.
We're COVID.
Like, here's a question. How many states of emergency are we currently in?
Ooh, that's a great question.
A bunch.
Yeah.
It's not one.
No, it's not
one. It's not zero.
No, it's like a dozen or something.
Yeah, and they're not all recent either.
Right.
There's a lot of them that have been around for a long time.
Right. Some of them get declared, and then they're perpetual.
Yeah. Right. So all of these ideas of, we can do that in an emergency. Look, what you can do in an emergency is what you can do. The rights that you give your government over you in an emergency are the powers that they have. And that's it. So all of these ideas of, we're not going to let a single bank just gobble everything up. We'll put rules in place. Unless this happens.
Yeah, it's true that governments truly have no power. It's just the fact that the overwhelming number of people aren't willing to stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, and so the idea of, they twisted their arm to make them do this deal that would have been illegal otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And made them billions of dollars.
So never mind the, like, 80% of the losses, the $13 billion that you and I now have to pay. And it's not just the taxpayers. Everyone on Earth suffers from the printing of the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
When you print the U.S. dollar here, it prints it everywhere else.
Somewhere there's a politician in the United States going, global oppression because of my printing.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, there'd have to be. But every other country is limited by what the world's reserve country currency is doing. So every dollar that you print here is $10 that they print in Argentina,
mm-hmm.
and $5 that they print here, and $10. Every single action that this, it hurts everyone on Earth when they pay for these things.
Well, it's because they all are running the same playbook.
Yeah.
You know, they're all... zero backed. They're all fractional reserve. They can print for as long as they want, as much as they want, at whatever rate they want to. But what you're saying is the U.S. sort of leads the way. Obviously, mm-hmm. Argentina prints way more per, whatever you want to call it. They're doing 100% inflation there right now, and the U.S., depending on how you calculate it, would be between 6 and 16%.
Yeah, and all the countries that want to stay below 100% inflation, well, they look to what the U.S. dollar is doing,
mm-hmm.
and they do it a little bit worse.
Yep.
And that's how it works. They see what their limits are from what this currency that is the world's reserve currency is doing. So it hurts literally everyone on Earth when, for example, the FDIC gives J.P. Morgan $50 billion in finance as a way of, you know, helping them absorb this bank that would have been illegal for them to acquire.
Where did they get that money from, Peekless?
Oh, wouldn't you know it, they printed it.
Because J.P. Morgan totally needs $50 billion. They don't have enough money to do this on their own.
Yeah, and fun fact, it doesn't apply to the debt ceiling.
You know, this reminds me almost identically of, and hear me out on this analogy, this reminds me almost identically of when a football team, an NFL team, moves to a new city, and immediately they rape the taxpayers for money to build the stadium. Because, you know, not like the NFL doesn't have enough money to build the stadium. They totally do. They're one of the most wealthy organizations on planet Earth. But yet they rape the taxpayers of whatever city. And this applies to, you know, baseball as well as football and that kind of thing. But they rape the taxpayers for a new stadium. And they fool the taxpayers into thinking it's for their own good.
Mm-hmm.
It's for your own good
that we're raping. People are going to come into town. They're going to spend money.
It's going to be an economic boom. Right. No, it's not. It's going to actually drive your prices up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for what? For an organization that could totally afford to do it themselves? Why? This reminds me of that.
Yeah. Well, plus, even if it does bring some people in, and it, you know, some people are going to come to the games, it's only going to benefit the businesses that are near the stadium. Mm-hmm. Everybody else in town has to pay the taxes for this.
Yep.
So the guy that gets happens to be across the street from where the stadium gets built, well, his bar is going to be doing great.
Or the guy that's smart enough to open a, sling some hot dogs or sell some t-shirts outside the stadium, right? That guy's taking advantage of an economic event for his own betterment, but most people aren't going to see the benefit of any of that, just like they're not going to see the benefit of J.P. Morgan purchasing the First Republic Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when there's a brand new second largest bank to collapse in U.S. history, whichever one that is,
who's
next? PacWest, I'm looking at you.
I don't think PacWest is as large.
Isn't it?
I don't think they're as large as First Republic.
Well, when there's another there will be, because that's the thing, look at what happened in 2008. It was 25 banks with this huge sum, and then it's 100 this year and 150 the next year because all of these giants went down. Okay, well, we've had our giants come down, and now it's going to be the rest of it that's going to take the fall.
Well, remember what started the First Republic stock sell-off last week was that they announced they do their quarterly earnings or whatever. They announced that their deposits were down 40%. So their customers took out 40% of the money that they had
Good
in
point.
First Republic Bank.
Right.
First Republic said, we lost 40% of our deposits. Boom, stock sell off, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
That was it.
And I'd like to point out that is exactly why this is happening. So one of the things that shocked me when this all went down in the first place is wait a second, you're not paying off the stockholders? You always pay off stockholders. You give money to Wall Street. It's basically your job as the Fed to give money to Wall Street brokers, and you're not. And I figured out why they're allowing this collapse to occur. So like I was saying earlier, no one is buying treasuries. But in the money markets, they always buy treasuries. So they are driving out as much business as they can from the regional banks to, A, help their friends in the giant banks, because that's the thing. The Fed is the giant banks.
Yes.
That is literally who makes up the Federal Reserve, are the largest bankers. So they are putting money directly into their own pocket. They're destroying their competition. And the reason that they're willing to do this instead of holding up the facade of having a market in banking is because no one is buying treasuries. That's the point. Scare everyone out of their local banks so that, A, a bunch of them go into the banks that they know will be protected, the J.P. Morgans and Bank of America and all of them, and B, all of the people who aren't going to the J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and Bank of America, all of them go into money market funds, which always spend their money on treasuries, making it easier to paper over all the money that they're going to be printing.
I just want to say, flash mob bank run.
Yeah. Well, this is what Aaron Day's been promoting. He's been promoting a bank run for weeks now, and he's been trying to get as much attention for this. He's a Republican presidential candidate, happens to be a free stater, liberty-oriented guy. He's a libertarian. He's just running as a Republican, and I fully support the idea. I mean, it is a peaceful act that you can do that will help accelerate this process if done in a large enough number. Now, what you're specifically talking about, Captain, is a flash mob bank run. I mean, anybody can go this week when their bank is open to go and withdraw funds from that bank and then do whatever you want with it, whether it's buy gold or silver or cryptocurrency or put it into whatever you think is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Getting it out of the banking system is certainly an important thing. But you're saying flash mob. How is that different?
Well, so the flash mob, as I recall it, came about during the previous banking crisis, right? 2008.
Is that when that came about?
I think so, Or at least the term, right?
But that was like fun, right? People would show up at a place and they'd dance, right?
Well, I think it's an underutilized tool of humanity, right? Where you could, by way of something like a social media platform, just be like, hey, everybody, meet up here at this time, and, you know, everybody stand in line at a bank or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that going to do? What's that going to cause? Or even, like, everybody just go to your bank on this day at this time and withdraw all your money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's that going to do? Right?
It's going to make the banks freak the F out.
Yeah, and it's probably also going to draw some press to your line, if your line is big enough.
If you call the press, you should call them. Let them know.
If someone, quote-unquote, were to call the press and let them know that
if you're going to do this idea, and I wish I could, but I'm stuck at home due to my house arrest, but if you're going to actually get a group of people, I don't know if it's 10 or 100 people, whatever you can muster.
Yeah.
If you know you got some people who are willing to go to a particular location and stand in line and withdraw funds from the bank, or even pretend like they're going to withdraw, like just stand there. Even if you don't have an account at the bank, you can still stand in line to go to this bank. If you know people are going to go, call the press, call the local. If you still have a local newspaper, give them a call. If anyone's working there, maybe they'll send a reporter out.
Maybe. I just think flash mob bank run is a good idea.
It's a great idea. I hope somebody does it.
Yeah, I do want to double down on the attention of the fact that they're not making the stockholders whole on this.
They're losing.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, frankly, if you lose money because you own stock in a bank, you deserve it. You absolutely had this coming.
Yeah.
Every single bank, without exception, because this is how banking works in the modern era, is stealing from everyone on Earth. Mm. That is how loans work. That is how this fiat fractional reserve system works. Yeah. It is just theft. It's well-hidden theft. It's theft with lots of paperwork and the permission of the government. It's still theft.
And let's not forget about the nomenclature and vernacular surrounding it, right? What's nomenclature and vernacular, you might ask? It's just words. You'll notice they like to make it seem far more complicated by using multisyllabic words, words that you're not familiar with, to make it seem like it's outside of your ability to comprehend. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. You just need to learn what the regular words are for everything they're talking about, and then all of a sudden the picture becomes clear, and it is exactly as you describe. It is theft.
And that's another thing that you can do is, if you do own stock in banks, sell it off.
You can
sell that immediately.
Which you should be doing anyway.
Right. Sell it off before you get taken under. Right. Because if, you know, First Republic Bank went from, like, I don't know, $140 per unit to $2 before, $2 or $3 before they froze it.
PacWest dropped 48% on Thursday.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to suck. If you bought it higher up and now it's worth half of what it was worth, I mean, it sucks to sell it, but if you hold on, it could be zero. You will be gone. You will be completely liquidated if this bank gets frozen. Whatever bank you're into, whatever banks you've bought stocks of, I think it would be a great idea.
In case you're like me and you don't know, you've never heard of PacWest, you're like, I don't recognize it as
a Western bank, right?
Bancorp. PacWest Bancorp.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've heard of Bancorp, Bancorp.
It's like a division?
I think they used to be two organizations that merged. Right? Kind of like is what's happening now, but like under different circumstances, right? I think Bancorp and PacWest used to be separate organizations. They became one. Kind of like Miller Coors became one company.
Okay.
Right? You know, they're both two different beer brands, but they became one company because they found some benefit into it.
Yeah. Look, we're not financial advisors, but if it were me, if I were in a situation with having a bank stock, I'd get rid of it ASAP.
Yeah. I mean, the moral thing to do is to not profit off the misery of others. But
right.
In case you didn't get that memo, or in case you just don't care, then you've got to ask yourself, what is the likelihood that this will happen to my bank? Because mm-hmm. First Republic, remember when they gave them $50 million?
$30
billion. Sorry, $30 billion. I mean, numbers
that was
I can't
a month
comprehend.
Ago.
Yeah, $30 billion from all these major banks
yep.
because they figured that would be enough. It wasn't enough.
Do you think they thought that? Do you think that they actually thought that would save First Republic Bank?
Yes. I think that they...
No.
I think that they thought it would be a large enough sum that it would make people calm down.
That's what they thought. They thought they were going to stop the next immediate failure, put it off, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they still knew it was going to go down.
So what do you think are the odds that your bank is going to survive if it happens to be on the chopping block? And by your bank, I don't mean the one you go to. I mean the one that you have stock in.
Right.
So you should ponder very heavily whether that money is better served anywhere safer.
Well, indeed. So just to be clear, what's been happening here is when one of these banks goes under,
mm-hmm.
the Federal Reserve or the FDIC, the federal government, they're going to, at least so far, they've been backstopping, meaning mm-hmm. they're willing to print if necessary or special assess the banks or whatever to pay off the account holders. So account holders at the bank mm-hmm. have been able to walk away with their money.
Well, and that's,
but the stockholders are wiped out completely.
I would like to point out the less worthy dollars, right? So
yes.
Guy, you're a regular guy. You got 50 grand in a bank account at one of these banks. You're able to withdraw your 50 grand in USD. But that 50 grand, because of inflation, because of the printing of money, is worth less now
right.
At the time that you extract it from the bank. So you're still losing.
Yeah.
Well, so is everybody.
Now, yes.
Now, so far, the FDIC has been backing even more than $250,000.
So far.
But I don't think that's going to last.
Good
so another thought I'd like to throw out there is if you have more than $250,000 in one bank, because a lot of times that'll happen with, like, they'll get special deals because they make an agreement not to bank anywhere
right.
else. You might want to rethink that.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to spread your risk around so that if one bank goes down at the wrong time, you are not destitute and out of a business.
I remember looking into some credit unions. There was actually one, I don't remember what it was called. There was one in Massachusetts that actually had private insurance on their accounts over $250,000. So there are some institutions out there
yeah.
that have taken extra steps to try to protect their depositors. And those, if you're going to stay in banking, I would look for those institutions, the ones that have actually thought outside of the box to some extent. And, like,
well,
if you got Lloyd of London backing you up, you're better off than the FDIC.
Like, this exists with people who win, like, lotteries and stuff like that, right? They come into a large chunk of money. They need to be able to put it somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and they want to insure their winnings because, well, they didn't earn it, so they don't know how to, like, build a business or whatever.
Yeah.
So they have this large sum of money, and they want to insure it, so they go to a private insurance broker.
Yeah, and a lot of this is a major power shift because the money market funds are run by things like Vanguard, and they're getting a huge amount of power now, a lot mm-hmm. of depositors, and that power is being moved away from the regional banks. And what I think the end game on this thing is they're just going to unify into a single corporation. They'll probably call it Bank of America just to be in line with, like, Bank of Japan and Bank of whatever. It will largely be JP Morgan Chase because they're the largest one, so they'll probably determine how this thing gets run, and then it'll be nationalized so that you can have a nice central bank digital currency without running off your corporate masters, because that's kind of what you have to do when you nationalize, unless you do it this way.
Mm.
But in the meantime, and I think this is, like, you know, long term, probably over, like, the next 10 years, say, they're just going to gobble up every single regional bank in the entire country.
That seems to be what they're doing right now.
Yes. That is, and it's the reverse of what happened to the telephony industry, telephones, over the last 50-ish years.
Mm.
Those of you who are old enough to remember, there used to be one telephone company.
Ma Bell.
And at some point, they were like, ah, yeah, this is a monopoly, and, you know, we should break this up. And then all of a sudden, we got all sorts of inventions, and we got pagers and cell phones, and the internet all came about as a result of that breakup. Banking is going in the opposite direction. Now, the only hope that I have here is that we're seeing these banks collapse as a result of the existence of cryptocurrency.
Oh, absolutely. So that's the driver behind this, because now that fiat has to compete with something that is not just printed into oblivion money, all of a sudden everyone's faith is a little bit shaken. So all of the countries around the world are starting to re-examine their priorities, and a big part of this is suddenly stealing all of Russia's foreign exchange money.
Mm-hmm.
But every country on the planet has to re-examine their priorities on how many US treasuries they really want to have, and they're going, you know, in terms of actual banking practices, you're not that great.
It's like when the internet came about, and one little, small, poorly put together, plain old website took down most major newspapers. That website is Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm hoping that what we're seeing is that, an analogy of that, but in the banking section right now. I'm hoping that's what we're seeing, because you cannot stop an idea whose time has come.
They're trying, though.
And to me, cryptocurrency's idea has come. It's already here. It's been proven. It's been around for over a decade now. It works. It just works. Nobody can hack it. Nobody can really break into it. The only time that anybody, you know, they use the word hack, it's because it's the same way somebody hacks your cable account. They figure out, you know, well, what your birth date is and what your secret password is, mm-hmm. and they pose as you. This is called social engineering.
Right.
You might hack a wallet and get somebody's money out of a wallet, but you're not hacking cryptocurrency. Bitcoin itself has never been hacked.
You've never hacked the system, even though you've gotten one person's password.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, with Bitcoin, as we were discussing earlier, the fees are going through the roof. So people need to start paying attention to the alternatives. Start looking at things like Dash and Monero. And
there are thousands of alternative cryptocurrencies.
There's also the technologies that are being built on top of this. So if you have that as the finalization level, that's not Visa. That's the Fed. Now, what's getting built on top of this and largely mimicking the technologies of the other chain are the Visa, the MasterCard, the payment layer of the technology.
You guys are going to be back here in about a half an hour on Beard Talk Live, but not on the radio. It'll only be on our video streaming platforms like Odyssey over at watch.freetalklive.com, 10:30 Eastern. Tune into that. Otherwise, we'll see you online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.